It's great to have a delegation from the Innsville Baptist Church, a place where my wife and I gave 23 years of our life and loved it all. It was great. And it's so good to see Pastor Paulman and his wife and his daughter, and of course, each one that goes to Innsville. We have Frank Bagala here. Frank, would you just raise your hand? There you go. That's what he did when they voted me in as pastor. Oh, he didn't know what he was getting into, I can tell you. And boy, we had a great time, and he has stayed faithful. And I thank the Lord for all of you that are here tonight. You're special to us, and we love you. And we thank the Lord for the Innsville Baptist Church in Peekskill, New York. What a blessing. I do have a book table. A couple of the men moved it over into the building. We're all going to be going over there to get those gifts tonight. So if you've got that ticket, don't forget to just, after the service, just come right over into that room. And we have a book table there. We have Bibles, Christian music, good godly music. We also have some old-time preaching on CD. And we have some Bibles and some good things there that you may want to take advantage of. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Boy, I had something happen last night that maybe none of you know about. Last night, the pastor's wife pricked my finger and took a blood sample, and I found out I have sugar. Do you ever hear about the preacher that got up? His name was Bud Robertson, and he said, folks, he kind of had a lisp when he talked. And he said, I asked the Lord to make me tweeter, and he done turned me into sugar. How do you like that, huh? So now, at 61 years old, I got to quit eating all those sweets. Oh, isn't that terrible? And it'll probably extend my life a few years, and that gives me more chances to preach. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to talk about your three arch enemies. Notice with me here in the Scripture, they're found in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, that means to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were born sinners. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past, here's what we did. We walked according to the course of this what?
World.
According to the prince of the power of the air. You know who that is. I call him the stinking devil. And you better believe that his work and ministry stinks in the nostrils of God. He is God's arch enemy to try to destroy the things that God is doing. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the what?
Flesh.
The lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children, of wrath, even as others. Now look at verse 4, those first two words. Say it with me. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath done what?
Quickened
us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his what? workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray together, may we? Our Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight in a very special way. We know of many people whose lives have become bankrupt. They've gone chapter 11. And it's because of the enemies that surround us and tempt us and try to destroy us. Oh God, would you speak to us tonight by your power and your spirit? May we acknowledge who our enemies are and may we learn to flee from them. And may you use us to be mighty examples of what Christ has done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I spoke last night about Solomon's temple. Before Solomon's temple was the tent tabernacle in the wilderness. It was the place where people came with a sacrifice as an atonement for their sins. That word atonement means a covering. Well, Jesus came on the scene. And he went to the cross and he suffered and bled and died for our sins. The just for the unjust. The perfect for the imperfect. His blood was shed. And here's what happened after Solomon's temple. God moved into the life of the believer. Amen. The Bible says, what? Know ye not, your body is the temple of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you that are truly saved, you do not belong to yourself. Amen. I'm sorry to tell you that. But you must be told. Right. You can't do anything you want to do. And if you think you can, you are in trouble. The Bible says, the Spirit indeed is willing. That's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. But the flesh is what? Weak. It's weak. There's a problem that we're finding among people that even call themselves Christians. The three enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. You don't have any other enemies than those. Now, there may be some people that don't like you, but that's their problem. Don't make it yours. If we don't treat people right, then that can cause enemies, of course, but the Bible makes it clear that we're to abstain from evil. We're to shun it. We're to say no to wickedness when it presents itself as a temptation to us. And all of us are sinners. Don't you ever think that you're not. And if you do, just talk to your neighbor and they'll tell you what kind of a sinner you are. My stepmom put in great big letters on the side of her car, Jesus saves sinners from hell. Amen. Now, some of you wouldn't dare to write that on your car because of the way you drive. On the other side of the car, it says, the Bible's true. Read it. Amen. And she has people that will wave their Bibles at her, and there are other people that will wave other things at her. That just tells you we're living in a wicked world that needs the Savior. How can we, as believers, reach a lost and dying world if we're not living right? And that's what I want to talk about this evening. There are many Christians that are spiritually bankrupt. You say, how does a person become bankrupt? Well, they charge too much. You know, years ago it was cash and carry. You old folks here, remember in the stores where it said cash and carry? There wasn't even a place to use a credit card because they did not exist. Boy, would we be better off if they did not exist. In fact, we'll get upset if we go to a restaurant and they only take cash and checks. That's how bad it's gotten, right? But I want you to know that many people have been charging their life into spiritual bankruptcy. The first enemy, the first thing that they're charging like crazy is they got the credit card for the world. Charge. Charge. Now you stick it in there for the chip to read it. And many Christians are what we call worldly.
Right.
You know what worldliness is? It's the opposite of godliness. You know what worldliness is? It'll destroy your public life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Did you know there's such a temptation for us to want to be worldly? Did you know where we get our worldliness from? We get our worldliness from the philosophy that the world has. You know what the word philosophy means? It means what people believe. If I got up and said to you, "Well, I believe this and I believe that," I'm preaching to you. You're not going to take much stock in what I believe necessarily. But if I say to you, "God's Word says..." Big difference, isn't there? When I say that God's Word says, you better take note of it, and you better obey what God's Word says, or you're going to be in a heap of trouble, and you're going to max out your world card, and you're going to find yourself bankrupt. Satan brought down the whole world in Genesis chapter 3. The fall of man, when Adam and Eve sinned, they plunged the entire human race into sin. If it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus. You see, you say, "Well, what about all the people before Jesus came? They looked for a Messiah." We look back at a Messiah that gave His life for us, who died and shed His blood, and He commanded every man everywhere to repent and be saved. You are insulting God when you don't get saved and you know you ought to. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And they are the ones that are trying to get you to be worldly. You see, if they can get you to be worldly, you won't be able to be godly. Some people think, "Well, I'll live the way I want during the week, and then on Sunday, boy, I'll go and I'll just worship the Lord and get right and ask the Lord to forgive me everything I did last week." That may last a couple weeks, but you know what happens? People that play footsie with the world and people that charge the world in their lives and allow themselves to do the things that they should not do, eventually they leave the church. You know why? There was a man that came to our church in Annsville years ago, and he said to me, "I'm not coming back." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Every time I come, you make me feel bad." And I was preaching loving messages. Amen. Oh, you know why? He was going in the wrong direction. He was one of those worldly guys that loved partying and living for the devil and doing what the devil wanted to do during the week. And so, of course, he's going to feel guilty when he comes into where the world is going to be attacked by the Word of God, so that people can learn to hate the world. The Bible says, "Love not the world." That says it all, doesn't it? All of the evil influences of the world. I want to tell you something. If you're truly a child of God, you feel a little out of place in this world, don't you? The things you see going on, you're like, what? They're doing this now. They're doing that now. Sin is just being paraded as though it's there is no God and you can do whatever you want. That's the philosophy of the world. And it will destroy your life. Some of the worldly influences sound like this. If it feels good, do it. Have your own way. Now, I'm not picking on Burger King. Amen. I still like their burger. Amen. Without the bun now, right? Who cares what people think? Oh, here's the one that a lot of Christians say. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Why don't you just add on to that? Not even God. Because that's the spirit that's in your heart. Be yourself. No, you don't want to be yourself. Oh, that can get you in some deep trouble. Here's one that's even worse. Love yourself. Have you ever seen the commercials on TV? I don't know what in the world a woman has to do with a Hershey bar. Honestly, the commercials are sensual often, aren't they? And they promote, you've got to have this. You've got to have this. You need this. You must have this. And boy, the people go, yeah, that's right. So at about 11 o'clock at night, they see that Burger King commercial and out the door they go. They got to go get some Burger King. You know how that is. We are so influenced by the world. And we do so many things by the world. You know, here's another problem that we see. The subject, question authority. You ever see that on bumper stickers? Here's another one. No fear. No fear. You know, there have been people recently been jumping off buildings. How many have ever seen some of those videos that, and you're like, what? Or they ride this bicycle down through a mountain pass and you're like, yeah! And you can't even, you have to turn it off because you're just, your heart is in your throat and you know you're going to be dead. And these skateboarders, man, they go flying and then they land flat on their face and you're going, oh, that hurt, oh. What's happened? We've become so consumed with what's going on around us to where we have no fear. The Bible makes it clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Notice, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, be careful if you ever get to the place where nobody can tell you what's right and wrong. Now, that's unpopular for parents to tell their children, you can't do that. Years ago, the husband used to run the house. Then the wife took over. Amen, ladies. And now the teens, the kids are running the home. Aren't we in a mess? What would you like to eat, son? Feed him. If he doesn't eat it, he starves until he's hungry. Amen. And we're not feeding the people in China, are we? What I'm saying is the influence of the world has just consumed people to where they think like the world. They act like the world. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Notice what he says, in high places. I would say that there's a lot of corruption in our government. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of sin in the church. There's a lot of sin in our homes. And it's the world's philosophy that allows it to come in. We used to turn bad things off on the TV.
Amen.
May God help us not to let the world influence our lives. Our sinful nature loves the world. That's why he said, love not the world. The world lures us in, tries to bring us in. The world would like to destroy us. Let me prove that to you. A grandfather up in Maine, his grandson made a profession of faith, accepted Christ, we believe. He thought he did. Well, sure he did. Then he felt that he was called to preach, this grandson. But he got in with a worldly crowd. And he was sneaking out at night. running down into Portland, Maine, and hanging out with his buddies and drinking and drugging. He got swept in by that worldly influence. His parents and grandparents begged him to quit hanging around those people. One night, he went out. One of his buddies said, "I double dog dare you to get on the back bumper of my car and let's see if we can drive all the way through town without getting pulled over." And so he's not going to turn down a dare. He jumps on the back of that bumper, and man, they're going through town and they come across these tracks. And that car went up and he went up, and when that car came down, his feet were not on that bumper. And he went right down and it killed him immediately. That grandfather, with tears running down his face, you know what he said to me? He said, "Dan, I pray God take him home. If he's truly yours, he's ruining his testimony and the testimony of the church and God's great name. And I pray that you either take him out or turn him around." Wow. Let me tell you something. You don't play with the world and get away with it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Number two, the second worst enemy you have is, can you see that? We got the credit card of the flesh. Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. The Bible says that we're not to conform to this world. The Bible says abstain from fleshly lusts. 1 Peter 2:11, which war against the soul. Now, I told you about the world, and that's the personal life where you are drawn away of an evil influence and you do what the world wants you to do. But it's interesting, the flesh is different. It's the private life is where Satan really works. And the flesh begins to do things that it ought not to do. What about your eyes? Have your eyes ever done anything that they should not do? What we watch or read or look upon. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 36, 1, it said they had no fear of God before their eyes. They saw, they desired, they took. David saw Bathsheba bathing. He saw her. If he had turned away from her and had gotten that thought out of his mind and stayed in the palace and didn't call for her, he would have had victory over his flesh. But instead, he called her to himself and ultimately had to kill her husband Uriah, a good soldier, in order to take Bathsheba to be his own. Got him drunk. You say, how could a man after God's own heart do something like that? You cannot control your flesh any further than you can throw it. I don't trust myself. You say, well, I trust myself. I don't trust myself. I have to make sure that I abstain from evil. How about your mouth? What you say. Your mouth is your flesh. The Bible tells us the tongue can no man tame. How many times have you wanted victory over gossip, but your long tongue kept on talking? One preacher was preaching, and man, he knew there were some gossips in the church, so he preached against gossip and tail wagging and all that stuff. And man, the invitation came. And boy, this one woman came down and she said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I've been gossiping and everything, and I just want to lay my tongue on the altar tonight." And he said, "Well, there's 40 feet of it. Help yourself." Men are just as bad. Amen. I want to tell you something. Nobody can tame their tongue. You've said things you shouldn't say. Some of you cuss. You can't control your tongue until God gets a hold of it. Amen. Amen. You can't stop drinking that liquor unless God gives you a conviction against it. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you something. Alcohol is destroying our nation. It's a licensed wickedness. How many people have been killed on the highway by a drunk driver? My dad used to say, if you never touch it, you'll never be a drunk. And most of think they can control it, do not. I want to tell you, that's your flesh, your mouth. The Bible says, wherefore lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings. How about your hand? Do you think your hands could get you in trouble? Oh man. There was a young fella played in the church the piano. Tremendous pianist. I mean, he was really good. But he got on his computer while he was in college and he came in contact with a 14-year-old girl. And he set it up to meet her. Instead, he met a police officer about 27 years old. And they threw him in jail. Those fingers can get you in trouble. And I don't think you can even control these unless God's controlling this and this. People that have a hard heart can't control their fingers. People that have a soft heart and want to love God and serve God will control their hands. How about your feet? Where are your feet taking you? You wouldn't believe how many people thought, well, I'm just going to go down to the bar and maybe I can pick up somebody. And they went down to the bar and they got themselves in trouble. And they never recovered. Some went to the grave because somebody took advantage of them and killed them. You say, you're trying to scare us. Oh, you betcha. You cannot trust your feet. You cannot trust your hands. You cannot trust your eyes. How about your ears? What are you taking in? I remember one time, and I'm not afraid to share this in front of all the church people at Annsville, but a number of years ago, I don't know whether they remember it or not, but we had a gossip problem in our church. Now, I know this church has never had any gossips. And I'll never forget, I put in the bulletin one Sunday, I got up and I said, folks, I thought I would never announce this, but I'm going to announce it. And I think people just kind of look like, oh no, he's going to resign. And I said, I thought I would never have to say this, but I'm the pastor of a gossiping church. And I think I remember, if I remember correctly, I put in the bulletin, here's how to answer a call when somebody calls you that's gossiping. And we know who the gossips are. Those are the people we never tell anything. Amen. We had people in our church getting caller ID because they weren't going to take any phone calls from people they knew were gossips. And I want to tell you something. It killed the gossip in our church like that. Now, I did put one more little item in the bulletin. I said, Article 4, whatever it was, Section 6, you can lose your church membership by being a gossip. And all of a sudden, we were no longer a gossiping church. Amen. Isn't that good? Listen, when we're living in sin and it's preached against and we know we're guilty, we need to confess it and forsake it. Amen. The flesh. Oh, there's so much more that could be said about the flesh. The flesh justifies the opportunity to sin. Well, so-and-so's not treating me right, so I'm going to do what I want to do. Since when do you make a decision by what somebody else does? Huh? Well, we have no right to make... What we should do is pray. What we should do is say, oh God, we're in a mess. Something's gone wrong. We need to get a hold of you, Lord. Get a hold of our family. Get a hold of our church so that we have God's blessing upon us. We are not to be justifying our sin. Blaming your sin on somebody else. Well, if so-and-so hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. That's just placing blame. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Eve, she blamed the serpent, and Adam, of course, he was a real athlete, man. He blamed his wife. Wasn't that a brave thing to do? I'm simply saying that we must not justify sin. The Bible says likewise also, these filthy dreamers, defiling the flesh, despising dominions, and speaking evil of dignities, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude chapter 1 verse 7. We try to blame others, but I want to tell you something. God knows where the transgressions are, and He certainly knows who the transgressors are. And He will hold you accountable one day if it's not confessed and forsaken. Oh, here we go. This guy. The devil. Now, I'm here to tell you that a lot of people say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, the devil cannot make you do anything. The Bible says that when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed, that's when we sin. If the inside's not right, the outside won't be right. Does the devil set you up? Oh, no doubt. The devil will do everything he can to strategize your demise. He will do everything he can to set you up to fail. You know why? Because he's a failure. He's the father of failures. Jesus made it very clear in John 10:10, the thief, that's talking about the devil, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Think about those three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. Those are deadly things that Satan wants to do to you. And Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then he said, but I am come that ye might have life. And then he said, and that ye might have it more abundantly. What was he saying? He's saying, I don't think that there's a Christian in this world that ought to be living a defeated life. You have no right. It's unreasonable for us to be discouraged and defeated. It's not right for us to play with sin and get burned. That's not what God intended. You say then, well, why did God allow it to happen? God didn't allow it to happen. It happened because you were not connected with God, or you just said, I'm not going to do what I know God wants me to do. And that's the danger. Eve had that problem, didn't she? Ye shall not surely die, the serpent said to Eve. And then he gave a few reasons why if she did partake of it, then she, you know, she would be great and she would benefit. And the devil's always trying to work a deal with you. Don't make a deal with the devil. Because you will come up bankrupt. You'll become bankrupt. The devil. Now these are special attacks. See, the devil doesn't really have to bother many people. Because he can get them with the two first enemies. He can get them with the world, and he can get them with the flesh. Satan doesn't make many attacks, personal attacks on people. Because we're so weak that the world and the flesh will get us in trouble. Correct? Do you agree with that?
Amen.
But I want to tell you, you start living for God and you take a stand against sin. And you say no to the devil and anybody else that wants you to do what's wrong. You say no to your flesh and you say no to the world. Guess who's going to attack you? The devil. Have you ever noticed that when you get right with God, it seems like the attacks are greater? The more you try to live for God, the more the devil attacks. Oh yeah. He doesn't mind if you're a backslidden Christian. He loves backslidden Christians. But oh, if you get right with God, and you stay right with God, and you walk with God, and you spend time with God, and you don't miss church. One of the fastest ways to fall away is to miss church. I preached on the church last night. It'll keep you right with God. It'll help you to stay in tune with God. But if you miss a lot, you're in bad danger. How many of you ever come to church and you were like, oh man, I'm so tired, I wish I didn't come. But after you left, you were like, man, I'm glad I came. Amen. Now if you know the Lord, you understand what I'm talking about. Now if you come to church and go, man, I can't believe all this nonsense, and I'm sick and tired, man, I'm glad that's over, you're probably lost.
Right.
People that know God, here's how it works. The Spirit of God speaks to the heart of man. And when the heart of man loves the Spirit of God, it is always a joy to be in the Word. It's always a joy to be in church. It's always a joy to be around Christians. In fact, you'll get to the point where you'd rather be around Christians than you'd ever rather be around people that are in the world. Let me tell you something. You take a stand for Jesus in this world, they'll kick you out. Yep, they won't want anything to do with you. Oh, here comes Holy Joe now. He quit his drinking. He quit his drugging. I mean, he doesn't even beat his wife anymore. What happened to him? Well, he got saved. Amen. And I want to tell you folks, quit listening to the devil when he tries to attack you and tries to defeat you and tries to destroy your life. These are the archenemies of the Christian. And oh, we're in a battle, folks. You better get armed. But I'm going to tell you something. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Oh, I wish I had the time tonight to tell you how wonderful my Savior is. It's not wrapped up in money. It's not wrapped up in pleasure. Unless I'm doing His pleasure. Amen. God's always taken care of my wife and I in the 40 years we've been in the ministry. That van out there, God gave to us. $23,000 van. A church gave us $11,500. I took out a loan for $10,000. I put some little extra money in there and I bought that van. In 47 days it was paid for. That's what God's people do for God's man. I'm just telling you. I'll tell you what, God has been so good to us. This world has nothing to offer you. Unless you want to be destroyed. The flesh will get you in trouble every time. The devil will do a personal attack on you. If he has to, he will. And the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't you give him any room to work in your life. And you know what'll happen? You'll start seeing the miracles of God in your life. If you live upright, if you live holy, if you live in tune with God, you can expect God's greatest blessings. Many Christians don't wait long enough to get His blessings. They kind of want them right now. Now, Lord, I'm giving you 30 days to work out this problem. If you don't get it done, I'll do it. Is that ignorant or what? But people do that. Yep, 30 days, Lord. I give you 30 days to straighten out this problem. And if it doesn't get straightened out, I'll take care of it. You're headed for trouble. You don't put time frame on God. You learn to wait on God. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, God, give us patience to wait on the Lord Jesus to come through for us. We can have victory over the devil. We can have victory over the flesh. And we can certainly have victory over the world. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow together in prayer. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, oh, I would beg you, if you're not saved, to come to Jesus. Now, don't do it just because I encouraged you to. You do it because you know God wants you to. Because if you do it for Brother Knickerbocker a couple weeks out, you'll be right back where you were before. But if you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus wants to save you. And He will save you if you'll let Him. He wants to be your Savior. And the pastor is going to be down here in the front where he can show you the way of salvation. I would urge you, as soon as the pianist begins to play, I would urge you to come and accept Jesus as your Savior. Let's stand together. Before we give the invitation, hold just a moment, sister, if you would. Let's stand together. Now, I preached about three things. All of you know that you are being attacked at some time by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you want to get out of spiritual bankruptcy? Do you want to have victory in your Christian life instead of defeat all the time? Would you like to be able to say that my Christian life is an abundant life? If you want that, I want you to come in this invitation. If you need to talk to the pastor, he's right here. He'd love to talk to you about it. If you're not saved, come right to him and just say, "Pastor, I want to get saved." That's all you got to say. And he'll know, and he'll help you to be saved through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a Christian, but you've been battling a little bit, there's not a one of us that hasn't battled with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Why don't you come and ask God to strengthen you to have victory over your three archenemies? As soon as she begins to play, you come, okay? Come right now. Come on. You know. God knows. We're not going to ask you about anything. That's between you and the Lord. But would you just take a moment and come and say, "You know, I've been battling with my flesh. Man, I've been doing things I know I shouldn't be doing." Come and confess it. If you can't kneel, just stand there. You don't have to kneel down if you're not able to. But I want you to bow your head and I want you to pray to God. And say, "Oh God, help me to have victory over my flesh and over the world's philosophy and over the devil when he personally attacks me. I'm tired of being defeated. I want the abundant life. I want to have victory in my life personally." Maybe you know somebody that's in sin and they're not having victory. Why don't you come and pray for them? Say, "I'm burdened for someone. Oh God, please deliver them from that sin." Maybe you need to go and talk to them. Did you know that God uses His people to help people get back to where they should be with God? Pastor, you come and close the service as you see fit.
I'm happy for the response that we've seen here this evening. And the Spirit of God has been moving. And let's pray as we close out the service that we will react to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not just pay lip service. Father, we need a moving of Your Spirit in our lives every day, because we know the world, the flesh, and the devil will keep us from the promises we're making at this pulpit. Oh God, I pray for all of us for a strong indwelling power of Your Holy Spirit. We know we're sealed unto the day of redemption. But Lord, move upon us every day to keep us pure. Keep us honest. Keep us from the gossip. Keep us from all of the things that we heard tonight that destroy us, cause us to go bankrupt spiritually and ruin churches. Use us, Father, to be people that glorify You.
Yes.
Use us, Lord, in such a way that our Christianity will be contagious. Others will want what we have. Oh God, if there's somebody here tonight who's not saved, we want them to know how much You love them. Father, please pour out Your Spirit on them and tell them how much You care. You care so much that You allowed Your only begotten Son to take their place. And You place the punishment upon Him, Jesus Christ, for them. If there's ever anything, Lord God, we know that we ought to take personally, it's that. Yes. Help that person or persons, Lord, to come by faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank You for this evening, this special message we heard. For all these good folks, help them, Lord, in the promises, the commitments they have made tonight. We ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be dismissed to our church hall. I hope that you'll all stay for a few minutes and enjoy some of the refreshment.